this edition of the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I'm Chris, and I'm joined by Jeremy and Tommy. JB, how's it going?
Things superb. A lot of news coming out here with NCAA football.
G, what's up?
Doing good. A little disappointed with some of the news we've heard recently about some features that another game was getting, but still happy with what we're getting in NCAA.
Today's show, we're going to talk about the Heisman Challenge. We'll get to what Tommy's talking about in another episode very, very soon. And depending when you listen to it, maybe we already recorded it. Let's talk about the Heisman Challenge. This is something we knew was coming in some form for a long time. One of the first pieces of information came via Twitter when all these former Heisman athletes were tweeting out about this great photo shoot they took part in with their Heisman trophy and with representatives from EA Sports. So we knew something was coming with the Heisman. We had the My Heisman vote that Barry Sanders ended up winning. Then we had Robert Griffin III, last year's Heisman winner, announced as the co-cover athlete with Sanders. So we knew this was coming, but we didn't know what it was until it was finally detailed. Designer Alex Howell, this is one of his big projects. He also does Road to Glory. The two features are very similar in some regards, maybe a lot of regards. The point of this mode is a discussion that a lot of sports fans always have when they talk about great players. Could this past player play in today's game? Could he make it in today's college football landscape? What they've done is they've taken 16 Heisman Trophy winners. 10 of them you'll have from the get-go. You get 3 more by playing the demo, and another 3 if you pre-order from GameStop. We'll talk about that later. I'm not a fan of that methodology. We'll get to it. First off, let's just talk about the way that this has been announced and discussed before we get into the nuts and bolts of it. Is it just me? I don't think EA stressed the point of this mode enough in terms of could a past player make it today. There's been a lot of comparisons to the NBA 2K Legends mode and also other games with Legends, which there's a lot of those, and we'll talk about that also later. I'll let you, Tommy, weigh in real quick before we get into the nuts and bolts of the mode. Do you think they stressed that point enough of what this really is and the intent behind it? I personally say no.
I would say no. I think part of it probably is they're wanting to leave it up to our imagination for the time being until we actually get our hands on it. You know, they want some people to have the illusion that yes, I'll be able to play with Archie Griffin back in his glory days or whatever. You know, I think they want to leave that up to people's imagination until they actually get their hands on it. And who knows, maybe they want you to be able to edit rosters to be able to recreate the past history or something like that. If you're going to spend that much time with it, I guess you could. But basically, I think you're right. The intent is to bring that player into today's game and see how well they play and see whether or not Barry Sanders Sr. would play very well in a, you know, a under center triple option offense or something like that. You know, see how well he would play for Georgia Tech or whatever. It basically is the illusion of those players stepping in through a time machine and jumping in and playing college football today from their glory days.
With this mode, you take the player and you can place them on any team and you play one season. Basically, you try to pass specific goals for each player, and there's over 40 for each of them. We also saw some pictures of these players. They made them look like they did during their winning season. They went through and they didn't just scan their head and pop them in. They said on the webcast that they made them from scratch, and they looked pretty impressive on the player head models we saw. They showed Eddie George and Matt Leinart, and Leinart really looked like him. That was really solid. George was a good as well. JB, what are your thoughts on this mode?
Well, I think this mode, it's really, to me, a little too similar to Road to Glory. It's something that is a little more in-depth than Road to Glory because you've got a lot of goals that you can unlock within the game. And it's real cool that you'll be able to see, you know, a lot of videos that you can unlock as you're progressing through that season. I think all of those are real cool. To me, it does seem a little too much like Road to Glory to make it a complete, I would say, to make it its own little mode. I think if it would have differentiated itself from Road to Glory a little better, I think it might have been a little better. It would have been a little more well received. But it's going to be something that I'm going to enjoy, but I don't think it's going to be something that it's going to be everlasting for me. But at the same time, this could be the most popular mode with everybody that buys the game. And that's one of the main reasons why this was put in. You know, the casual fan is going to love just being able to jump in and play a full season with Barry Sanders or, you know, maybe even, you know, there's a casual 45-year-old guy that loves this game and he gets to play with the 2-time Heisman Trophy winner, Archie Griffin. So there's going to be definitely a built-in fan base that's going to just completely love this. I myself, I'll probably use it to chase trophies and you know, kill some time until the rosters are done. The mode itself didn't overwhelm me, but at the same time, I'm kind of excited to play it just to kind of hear all those little interviews that are in throughout the game.
One of the things that they've done to make these players, because they wanted them to be outstanding, because these guys at the time were really legends, basically. So they said that some of these players have ratings over 100 in certain attributes and overalls over 100, which I've seen some community discussion about that saying, well, that's unfair, that's unrealistic. Of course, they're going to torch everyone currently. And I see their point in terms of that may fly in the face a little bit of the whole theory of, can they play today? Well, of course they can when they're rated over 100. Well, damn right they can play today. But at the same time, I think what the community's not thinking about is that we can still, you know, adjust sliders and adjust difficulty. But at the same time, that's not really then making it, can they play today? That's making it, okay, do I want to change the settings and sliders to make it more difficult? Or, like you talked about, they have all these goals. So you want to have... You want to beat Barry's records and yardage totals from the past. So you're probably going to want to, I don't want to say cheese, but you're going to want to put up some big-time numbers.
Well, on top of that, I think it's going to be more – you're not looking at this for a true sim experience. You know, you're looking to, mm-hmm. to break somebody's ankles with Barry Sanders. You're looking to just torch a defense with Charlie Ward with his arm and his legs.
But doesn't that then counteract – the whole point of can they make it today, which was, if I understand it correctly, a lot of the intent behind the mode. Like,
I never really ever got the gist of can this past player make it today. I don't know. I just never really got the gist of it. For me, it was can the user match what he did? And can he do it on Heisman difficulty? You know, can you do it on the hardest difficulty that you play on? Can you do it on? I think it was more geared towards the user than the past player. I think it was. Are you an All-American player? Can you play on that difficulty to be able to match what he did in his career? If you're not, can you get up to that Heisman mode and be able to even come close? You know, to me, it always seemed to be. Can the user's ability compare to what they did in the past? And maybe that's why they didn't drive it that way. Maybe they kind of gave that angle at first. Can they make it today? Because you're throwing it in, you're throwing that person in with a current roster set.
Mm-hmm.
But I was always under the impression that this was basically, can the user match what they did in history?
Tommy, what are your thoughts on this whole debate here?
I think it kind of falls onto both. I mean, the whole thing sprung up basically from Eddie George. Apparently every year he gets the game, he creates himself and puts himself on SMU. Why SMU of all teams, nobody knows. But he basically does that and wants to see whether or not he would fit into today's spread offense. And so I think that kind of where it started, and then it kind of evolved to trying to match these past players' goals and things like that. So it's kind of a little bit of both basically in the end. To me, though, at the end of the day, this feature is not going to be a big selling point for me whatsoever. I mean, if they didn't touch any of the features that I play and only added this, I wouldn't be buying the game. But they did enough on the rest of the game that it's going to warrant a purchase for me. But basically, this mode is just simply, it's driven towards basically people who want a sort of arcade game experience and want to do all these jukes and spins and slow motion and things like that. And it's not going to necessarily be driven to your hardcore gamers. The only problem I have with that is that a lot of your arcade players are going to be younger players. They're going to be under 20 years old. They're going to be, you know, kids that are in junior high and high school right now. And a lot of these players, we've seen actually evidence on our message board, these guys don't know who these older players are. They know who Barry Sanders is, but we actually had guys asking, who is Herschel Walker? Who is Eddie George? I had to look these players up. And so you're kind of aiming it at a target, but you're still going off to the side of that target. So it's kind of one of those things that it kind of doesn't end up hitting anyone specifically, but there's going to be a mixture of everybody that's going to end up playing at least a little bit of it.
And that kind of ties into the pre-order bonus. I mean, you'd mentioned you wanted to bring this up earlier in the show, Chris, but you have to go to GameStop to basically get three of the most recent, and especially one of the most recognizable in Tim Tebow. You know, Matt Leinart, Mark Ingram, I don't know if there's going to be the random guy that outside of fans of those guys, especially because they really haven't made a mark in the NFL yet. And, you know, there may be just a niche for those fans of the cult when what they did in college. But obviously, putting some of the most recent guys in a GameStop pre-order to me is kind of just odd, especially Tebow, because Tebow is liked by a lot of people that aren't Florida fans, liked by a lot of people that aren't even football fans. And so I think to draw the people in, obviously you get to play with Robert Griffin. That's a real good one to have, but I'm just real surprised at the Tebow decision.
That's a good point. Let's talk about that, the pre-order stuff first, and we'll come back to the discussion we're having now. Is that you get three in the demo, you play the three matchups, and for each matchup you play, you unlock one of the three guys. And those three are Tim Brown, Archie Griffin, and Jim Plunkett, both relatively older players. And in the past, you know, you unlock pro combats, and that's also another feature in the demo for NCAA Football 13. But we always have people coming to the forums later on saying, I don't have this one pro combat. How do I get it? And it's almost always the pro combat from the demo. They either never played the demo or never downloaded it or never shared it with a friend, so they never got it. So we get a bunch of people who are going to be confused and not have those three players there. Granted, they're older players, so maybe they won't miss them. Who knows? But you brought up a good point. I hadn't thought of that. The three GameStop guys, two of them are the last two cover athletes. So they're very well known because people had to stare at their mug for 365 days. And then you throw in Matt Leinart, who, you know, great college quarterback. He's kind of had some instances in the NFL, kind of a, I don't want to say a joke, but a lot of, you know, some pictures, some rumors about his off-the-field stuff, you know, partying too much. But still a guy who's pretty recognizable. And those are three who you have to go to GameStop. This year, with Amazon having the game for $45 for several weeks now, plus release day delivery for free, and they also are including five free Nike Pro Combats, it just seems like there's going to be a lot of confusion, you know, once the game comes out, people wondering, because theoretically, you're going to get 10 players to start, but there's also these six players that theoretically, people aren't going to know how to get them. And when six of 16 are not, I'm not going to say they're not easily attainable, but...
Well, if they go the
Tiger, it's not like popping it in and getting it.
Yeah, the biggest thing, and if they haven't decided on this, and hopefully they're listening to this podcast, that's good, because if they go the Tiger Woods route, this would be the answer to your question. There were, I believe, three courses on both systems. Each one was from a different retailer. You got it, you know, you got it for pre-ordering from Best Buy or Amazon or GameStop, I think might have been the three retailers. Well, you know, you had the ability to, of course, unlock those courses if you had enough coins to buy them, except for those ones that you got on pre-order. Well, with Tiger, 45 days after the release, they opened up those pre-order courses to be able for anybody to buy with their coins or to purchase, you know, via DLC. So if NCAA goes the route that Tiger did this year, I think that'll be huge to at least allow this to be DLC. I honestly think this should be free to the public after 45 days. I don't think anybody should have to pay to get any of these. So I kind of just hope they go the route of Tiger and also give it to people for free. You still got the perk of people that pre-ordered from GameStop get a play with Tebow right away, something like that. You know, but as long as they offer it down the road, even if you got to pay, I don't agree with it, but I think they need to at least give the option to just say in a blog, hey, everything that was pre-order exclusives, pro combats, everything, this is all open to the public. Here you go. Download it from the store.
You're absolutely right that that's how they need to do it, and I imagine that that's actually how they will end up doing it for both uniforms and for these unlockable Heisman players. The problem is that nobody knows that for sure now, and then as well, you know, after the release, they're not going to know that they are unlocked unless it's just something that magically shows up or whatever. They're not going to know that they're there unless they get a message or something like that. To me, what they have to do today is – express that it's a timed exclusive. Say that, you know, for the first 45 days, first 90 days, whatever it is, you're only going to get these if you do the pre-order. You're only going to get these if you share the demo, et cetera, et cetera. But they have to basically say that now. Otherwise, you're going to have message boards filling up with people saying, hey, I didn't get this. Why didn't I get this? And we saw that last year with the uniforms that were pre-order. And, you know, we'll see that again this year. So it's one of those things that I don't care what you do, as long as you make it available to everybody, but you also have to make sure to tell that to everybody.
And I think a good step to being able to communicate that, I think they need to, and I'm not 100% sure how the retail game is going to look, if there's going to be those tiles for Tebow and Ingram. They need to put maybe even in-game, have a blacked-out tile for Tebow and say, pre-order exclusive, available to the public 45 days from release, or maybe they can, you know, at that point they can probably pinpoint a Tuesday or a Wednesday that this could be in the store to unlock and do it, and do it from in-game. So Tebow is blacked out, 45 days have passed. You go in, you hit Tebow, just like Tiger, it takes you to the store to be able to download it right there. It kind of it gives the user the visual that you can get it eventually, and once you can get it eventually, you don't have to separately go to the store to hunt for it. It's going to take you right to the store to be able to download it. Once that's in, just like the Tiger courses, you can go ahead and start playing as Tebow in the Heisman Challenge.
Let's talk more about how the feature works, and then we'll come back to more of the design, the way it's designed, and talk about that, because I think there's a lot of great design discussion we can have, but I want to make sure we stress to people what actually is in Heisman Challenge and how it works a little bit. There are leaderboards, which is something that I know with Road to Glory, people like to compete for the leaderboards. We're going to have the same thing here for Heisman Challenge. There's unlockables, the big one. Obviously, once you win the Heisman with one of these players, there's no ceremony, but there is a presentation element there. You can then move that guy to Road to Glory. It's basically going to be the model. He won't have the same attributes. So basically, he will be a freshman, like a pure freshman, that you build up and progress to Road to Glory. He's not going to come in being the superstar that he is in Heisman Challenge. And probably the biggest thing, and I'm surprised more people, especially Road to Glory fans, didn't grab onto this, because it's pretty evident this will be in Road to Glory. I'm not shattering any secrets here. Improved play calling. They talked about how in Heisman Challenge, there's going to be more running plays called for running backs, more passes called for quarterbacks. That was a big complaint in Road to Glory last year, is that I'm a running back. I want to run the ball. I don't want to sit here and block or be on the sidelines or whatever. So that's one thing that we've heard several times to stress, that it's night and day between last year. That's the wording I most recently heard. It's night and day compared to last year. And that is something that I think if people are really into Road to Glory, and I can see this mode being something a lot of people are into. I know we're talking about how it works and questioning it maybe somewhat, but this is something that I think there's going to be a pretty solid market for, a pretty solid community around it. But the play calling, I think, is pretty important. JB, I know you've played Road to Glory a decent amount in the past, and I've played a little bit. How important is it now that this play calling is going to match your position a little bit better?
It's very important, because I did not want to be a wide receiver or running back in the past, just because it wasn't as fun. The play calling, you know, there'd be times where I'd get to run the ball a lot, but the play calling was really suspect a lot of times. It would sometimes just call some ridiculous plays, and I think this is going to kind of help it out a lot more. Especially, it's going to kind of open up people's eyes to see that they can have fun with this mode and with Road to Glory as a wide receiver. As you know, you play as Tim Brown or Desmond Howard, it's gonna kind of give you that experience that you're actually gonna be a part of the mode. You know, you're not gonna just sit there and run routes all day and not get many touches. So it's gonna kind of open the doors, possibly for those Road to Glory fans that may only have stuck to quarterback, where you had a lot more control. It's gonna maybe open the door to where they're gonna want to branch out and be a running back or even a wide receiver. It kind of helps out with maybe the overall experience for those players.
One of the things we've seen on the forums a decent amount is, and we get this every year with NCAA football, and I think every community gets this when some feature comes in. There's always something, well, who asked for this? Did we ask for this? And while there may not have been a whole lot of, hey, I want to play as a Heisman winner with today's current roster, I think the inclusion of Legends and other games kind of indirectly asked for this, especially NBA 2K being the poster child with their Legends. Granted, we'll talk about this in a second, it's designed differently. But in terms of legends, I may be wrong here, but almost every game now, sports game at least, has a legend incorporation. NBA 2K has it. Madden had it with Ultimate Team. Grand Slam Tennis even has older players in it, like John McEnroe.
Fight Night did it too.
That's right. Fight Night's done it a long time. The wrestling games have done it. I may be wrong here, but I think almost every sports game has legends. And I think NBA might have been the last one to add it. Am I wrong there?
Yeah, and I think as well done as the Jordan mode was with 2K11, I think that really kick-started it with everybody else. Jordan, obviously, one of the most popular basketball players of all time, if not one of the most popular athletes of all time. The great way that 2K did the Jordan mode, that could have been its own game, and just they knocked it out of the park with that mode. And I think that's what's kickstarted a lot of this over the past 2 years.
I think you're right, JB. 2K basketball basically is what put legends on the map as far as adding them. A lot of games have had them in a long time, and that basically is what said, hey, now all these other games need to do something with legends. And that's kind of where this comes in. It basically is taking advantage of a similar publicity that 2K had and saying, hey, now we've got it as well. I mean, you've had, like y'all said, there's many different examples, even a whole game that was dedicated to it in All-Pro Football. So, I mean, there's other games that have done it. Probably the only one that hasn't, that still needs to do it, is MLB The Show or MLB 2K, which they're dropping now. But, you know, a baseball game, I've never seen Babe Ruth in his old uniform or whatever. So that's probably one that'll come next. But at any rate, that's kind of where it all comes from. I don't agree with it. I don't like it. It's a waste of development time for me, but at the same time, somebody's going to get enjoyment out of it, and as well, it's just simply a modified Road to Glory, so it's not like they had to build this from scratch or anything like that. It is Road to Glory with a new legend and just simply retooled and adds. Honestly, the videos themselves are going to be cool that you see. So, I mean, there is going to be some cool aspects to it, especially fans of these particular players. You're going to want to play them, but as far as being, you know, some huge time waster that I'm going to drop Dynasty altogether, no, that's not going to happen.
I think that you bring up a couple good points there. First off, you talk about how the way it's done, you call it a, you know, basically Road to Glory. Do you think if it had been designed a little differently? Because NBA 2K basically, see, they have the luxury of, you know, real players that go out and were able to get the license for a lot, generics for, you know, quite a few as well. And you're actually recreating a game, a specific game from a certain series, certain year in the NBA. With this, you're not recreating. Granted, yeah, you're trying to match stats from the past, but you're basically, you know, it's just goals. Do you think if it had been designed more to recreate games or moments, that might change your opinion? Because a lot of people have the same mindset as you, so I'm not trying to put you on the spot by asking that. But if it was more recreating a game or moment, would that help?
Maybe a little bit, but probably not much. I mean, you know, if you're trying to recreate Desmond Howard returning that punt that he ended up doing the Heisman pose in the end zone, you're not going to be able to recreate that without trying to – you're not going to be able to recreate the whole game, for one. But then as well, just recreating that, it's just going to basically become Madden moments that they've had in the past. And I don't know that that was a big selling point. I think a lot of people enjoyed it, but it's not like a huge selling point. So you're really not gaining much either there. So I think what they had to do in order to make this basically knock it out of the park was to basically give the user, kind of like NBA 2K did, is basically make each player unique to how they played the game. So with Barry Sanders, you're going to be low to the ground, you're going to be elusive, you're going to be jump cutting, you know, things like that. You basically are going to have a completely different feel for Barry Sanders compared to any other running back in the game. And the only problem is in order to do that, they're going to have to spend way too much development time that people are going to end up saying they spent all this time doing that when they could have been doing this other stuff. So it's basically a very small version of what they could have done, but at the same time, they didn't spend too terribly amount of development time on it to consider it a waste.
Another game that does Legends did it a little differently. It was the WWE Legends of WrestleMania, and you're recreating matches. And that was more of a game of a style of you could freestyle it, but if you wanted to pass your goals, you had to basically recreate these certain moments, you know, maybe putting a guy through a table, doing your finisher a couple times. So it was one of those, it was like a half, I don't want to say sim, but half kind of play the way you want, but you had to get these moments. And with Heisman Challenge, and it's one of the things they haven't really talked about is that they kind of recreate the moments. I don't know if I would say recreate moments, but you'll see the Heisman post by Desmond Howard. Now, it may not come on a kick return exactly. Yeah, it's one of your goals, and, you know, Tebow will do the Tebowing, of course. So you're kind of recreating it a little bit. So Legends of WrestleMania did it that way, which is a different approach that in a football game probably wouldn't work, because you would want to have these basically interactive cutscenes, which is what Legends of WrestleMania basically used at times. But it is a way to do it, but I think it works. That works in a fighting game or wrestling game of the sort. The final question I'll ask you guys, and this is something I haven't seen anybody talk about yet, and hopefully I'm not catching you off guard here. With EA adding the Heisman Challenge mode, have they painted themselves into a corner? We talked about this in the past, and we've talked about it on the forums. We really don't like when a feature is added to a game and it's not touched the following year or for several years. So did they paint themselves into a corner? Are they going to have to pursue every eligible Heisman Trophy winner who completes their eligibility? Are they going to have to add more guys every year? Is it something that now, no matter what they do, because I'm sure they had to pay some kind of fees for these players. They had said in the webcast that there are other guys they wanted and couldn't get it for various reasons. And I don't think you have to be a rocket scientist to figure out some of the guys they probably didn't want, like Reggie Bush, who had to vacate his Heisman Trophy. Some guys they probably couldn't afford. Have they panned themselves into a corner now where they're going to have to constantly invest more money into signing more players each year for this mode? Jeremy, I'll let you answer that first.
I don't know for sure. It kind of depends. I don't really see a senior coming out of college really kind of holding out for this isn't a big enough paycheck for me. You know, getting the most recent Heisman winner in. I could see other guys that have already been in and out of the National Football League that, you know, it may not be surprising, or people just didn't want to do it. But I don't see it really being a problem with the current Heisman winner. I think they're more open.
What about former guys? So now, are they going to have to go back and get former winners? Because whether it's getting the most recent Heisman winner or filling in the gaps and getting more players, you know, obviously our local school has three former winners. None are in the game, and I'm not saying go get Nebraska guys, but there's a lot of great winners out there who aren't in the game. So are they going to have to either pony up or get some other guys? Are they painted in that way, Jeremy, with former players at least?
I don't necessarily know. I mean, part of me, I'm going two ways with this. Part of me thinks this could just be a one-off deal. And, you know, people are complaining that this is in the game, but if you look through it a marketing perspective, you've got to have something new into the game.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just touch up the gameplay and throw that on the back of the box. Marketing is not going to go for that. That's not how the real world works.
Mm-hmm.
So part of me thinks this could be interchangeable. Part of me thinks they pull this out, it may not return for a couple of years. There is definitely room to grow with it. It kind of just depends on, you know, it kind of depends on things that we don't know and we don't control. It depends on if the past player wants to pay, you know, if they're wanting too much money for this, or their agent wants too much money for this, or they just don't want to do it. You know, I mean, you can't really go back to those guys and say, well, how about now, unless you're throwing them a lot more cash. So that's really up in the air. I think that they should stick with this. It's kind of ludicrous if they don't, because that's going to maybe make some of those detractors even more mad. But there are just so many things on the business side that we can't control. You know, I would probably assume that a lot of, you know, recent Heisman Trophy winners coming out of college are probably going to say yes, because a lot of those guys probably grew up playing the game.
Right, that's a good point.
Going back to the past guys, if they said no, especially if they just didn't want to be involved, there's no way that they're ever going to be in it. If they wanted more money, well, that's another thing. I mean, well, if you up it a little bit, is that even – you know, or you're just going to maybe get another no, and is it even worth the effort to try to go after that guy again even, too?
Well,
I will say, Tommy, before you...
Yeah, go ahead.
I will say, Jeremy, the one thing that might help is if this mode is well-received by the general masses, if it's very popular, if it's, let's say the TV ad's really highlighted, let's say it's a big focal point by the media after launch, maybe some former winners who said no, who wanted more money, might change their mind and be like, hey, that's pretty damn cool. I could have been in that. I could have been getting these interviews. I could have been doing all this.
Especially,
maybe that changes their mind.
Especially if, you know, they see how well done these – I've seen some of these interviews, and they did a lot of – there's a lot of interviews reliving their past glory. And I think, you know, it could change the minds of some of those guys seeing how this is done and if – you know, and it kind of gets them halfway back into the spotlight, you know, and some of those guys may, on paper, this looked like a silly thing to a guy that's been retired for 15, 20 years in the NFL. But if the guy sees this as a possible opportunity to, if he does these interviews and such, this could almost lead to, you know, other things.
A second win for his career.
Yeah, it could lead to other things. It could lead to, you know, say... A guy like Archie Griffin, you know, played for Ohio State. It could lead to the Big Ten Network wants to do another piece to highlight this guy. And, you know, like I said before, there's just a lot of business variables in many different directions that it's hard to control, hard to predict. And then when you're throwing it into the video game world, it's hard to implement. You know, you just in a perfect world, we'd have every Heisman would line up and say yes,
yep.
And we got to say, hey, you got to wait till next year to be able to win the game. But, you know,
right.
there's just so many things that are variable and so many things on the business side that really make it kind of tough to see what's going to go on with it.
Tommy, you get the last word.
Sure. I actually see one of several different scenarios that could take place. One, it could be a one and done. They did it this year. Next year, they scrap it. We never hear from it again. That's possible. I mean, it just depends upon how well people take to it and how marketable it becomes. Second thing I could see is it just simply being something that kind of they just barely build on it from year to year so that every year their cover athlete is if he's the Heisman winner, then he's added to the mode or something like that. So now you get to play with the cover athlete every year. And then the third thing I could see is that they expand it to where it's not just Heisman players. I mean, you've got guys mm-hmm. that are past greats that didn't win the Heisman. You've got, you know, Tommy Frazier, for example, that you could add him to this mode and then at the same time bring back the old Nebraska offense to go along with him. And you've basically killed two birds with one stone. You not only marketed it to fans of Nebraska, but you've also marketed it to fans of older offenses. And then you could also bring back the John Elways and the Joe Montanas that, you know, are very recognizable names that may have not necessarily won the Heisman. But
I understand your point, though. Bring in either runner-ups or guys who had great seasons who didn't win and then mm-hmm. try to rewrite history. I thought that idea as well. My only thought is how tied into the Heisman
mm-hmm.
trust are they? Would they allow that? I've never heard the Heisman trust of it being that strict to say like Augusta, for example, but that is a good idea. I've thought of that as well. Anything else, Tommy?
And then the other thing I can see is just simply being something that basically they can strip it down to just simply be reliving the one player that is the cover athlete, relive, you know, his recent career or whatever, but then also make all of these other players, you know, even players that are on the game this year, make them as DLC for the future years. That way you don't have to tie up all these resources on the disc. Because, I mean, these videos, you know, the player information, stuff like that, that takes up room on the disc. And as mm-hmm. it is right now, that disc is near capacity anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
And you, that's where you can almost take the Tiger approach, just like what you said. So some of those past guys can be a DLC next year, and eventually you're going to have yourself a library of things, and on top of that, you're going to have a lot of room to grow. You may be able to, especially with maybe DLC, you may be able to throw in some actual video clips of them playing too. You know, there's a lot of different directions you can go with it.
That wraps up the Heisman Challenge. Make sure to check us out at thegamingtailgate.com for all the latest on NCAA Football 13. For Tommy and Jeremy, this is Chris. Everyone, thanks for listening.